listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Welcome to the Spirit of Life for Wednesday, August 4th already. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here. And it is the year when the eighth month of 2021, hopefully, it's not as bad as last year, but man, I'm sure saying 2021 has proven to be a challenge also, for people everywhere.
Surely had its challenges, but it is going by fast.
It is.
It is going by incredibly fast. My current plan to deal with it is denial. So we'll see how that goes.
All right.
We're glad to have everybody joining us live. We always appreciate your company. And thank you to those joining the archives. We appreciate you taking the time to catch up with us. And, you know, we're glad to have you too. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, as always, we're going to begin with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are: 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Now, we're going to get into the meat of tonight's topic, and that's the importance of meditation and reflection. And, what a chaotic couple of years it's been. I mean, just historic. It's been crazy. And, Dr. Hunter, how do you keep sane during all of this chaos and craziness? I mean, I haven't, so we're going to have to rely on you, but how have you been able to keep sane?
Well, your favorite word, Michael, denial.
I also like to rock back and forth in the corner, but that's another topic. All right.
You know, and this is what tonight's all about. We're going to talk about meditation and reflection, and they kind of go together in a partnership, but they have different expressions, and we're going to talk about that tonight. But how do you handle all this stress and pressure? And you have to have those moments where you check in with yourself to ground yourself, to get centered, and be in your right mind. And without that, and honestly, I have outlets. I use art, and I do, there's different kinds of meditation, so we're going to talk about that, but mm-hmm. I meditate a lot. I have my different variables for meditation, and reflection. Reflection is important because it expands that macro as well as micro kind of views of things. But what it does is really helps to be in a better learning place as well as that centering place, you know, to be grounded, to stay in your body, in your own mind, not to get lost. And you know, I think this is the problem for a lot of people, that we're seeing all the stress, the pressure, the anger, frustration, the emotions, you know, the mental illness, emotional, you know, distortions, is getting so wrapped up in things outside the self that we lose who we are.
That's true.
So that's what we really, I think, want to address tonight.
And I think a big part of meditation is helping to put ourselves back into context. And reflection does that well as well. It helps put things into context.
Yeah.
And I think there are often times that we need to be reflective, but also with a critical eye. Not that I mean overtly negative, but I just mean an analytical eye, being objective. And there are times where we need to reflect on actions. Perhaps there are many times in everybody's life where they're going to do something that they'll regret. So oftentimes we can reflect and learn, how could we have done something better? How can we improve as a human being from this? And how can we move on to do some, you know, lead better lives?
That comes after beating yourself up.
Well, that's a prerequisite, especially if you were raised in any kind of, you know, fundamentalist or, you know, orthodox religion.
Yeah.
It just goes hand
in
hand.
That's true. It kind of goes together.
But let's
address then meditation first, because, Michael, a lot of people say, I can't meditate. I don't know how to meditate. You know, and so there's this idea, the notion that meditation is this very still, calm, nothing kind of thing, and they just can't get to that place. So
yeah.
I would like to clear it up that meditation is a state of mind, and that state of mind, to be in that kind of a quiet place with yourself, it doesn't mean you're not going to get thoughts in your mind, because you will. Things will flit in, but the point is to learn how to manage those. Allow them to come in, then release them. Allow them to come in and release them. And feel your breathing. Breathing is, to me, really important.
Yeah.
Just to be calm, to relax muscles. And even if you can, and it takes maybe 10 seconds, visualize head to toe, relax all the muscles and nerves in the body to just relax for a minute. And if you can do that in the snap of a finger, that's a really brief meditation. It's a sort of meditation. But I take it other steps where, to me, doing the dishes is a form of meditation. I don't have a dishwasher. I know you don't either, Michael. So, you know, doing the dishes is a very mindless job.
Yeah, it allows go ahead.
No, it just allows your mind to be in that quiet of doing something very mindless.
Yes.
And quiet. See, that to me is a form of meditation.
It is, and it frees your, you know, the unconscious mind to work on certain things. And I think it's definitely indicative of exactly what you're talking about, this kind of and I think it, I was looking through a few various types. I think this would be kind of a movement meditation, which, you know, can be many things. It can be gardening. Yeah. It can be doing certain types of housework. It can be going on a walk through the woods, you know, and then it can be brought into like Tai Chi and different types of yoga.
Exactly.
By going through the movements of things. But there are so often these eureka moments where you've been working on a problem, you've been going over and over in your head, and then you're doing something where your mind is blank, your subconscious is allowed to work on it because you're focused on doing something that's menial or something that doesn't take a lot of mental resources, and it frees up something to go, you know, to something that spark. And then the idea comes to you, or the solution hits you in that moment.
Yep.
And it just, meditation is in many ways learning how to better control and operate the supercomputer that is our brain.
Exactly. That's a really succinct way to put it. That's a great way to put it, Michael. I think that, so just to clear up to anybody who's listening, meditation is just a state of mind, and how you manage that state of mind, being self-aware. So you don't have to sit cross-legged in a lotus position for an hour every day to feel like, oh, I've done my meditation. It could be sitting down for 60 seconds and just closing your eyes and say, relax. You know, it can be that. So there's many kinds of You know, you can anybody who's listening can pursue all kinds of meditative exercises that can help you give a discipline to the mind, just knowing that that is your own mind. You're working with your own mind.
Absolutely.
And that's your individuality in that. The reflection, and I think if we do increments of time on reflection, it's my way of thinking that's a good idea. It's like I can reflect on the week I can look back over this past week and say, okay, here's the general of what, you know, that kind of went on this week, or here's a couple of highlights. But generally we don't do that. We reflect more in the bigger increments, like what's happened over the past year, what's happened over the last 6 months, or if it's your birthday, you think about the past year and then the year that's coming. So generally reflection is noted by an event or a memory, for that matter. And what I appreciate most about reflection, that's not dwelling on the past, it's not living in the past, it's just reflecting in a moment that we're seeing something that's the same thing but in a different way. You were there, you lived it, mm-hmm. but now you're going to see it differently. So we're seeing it from a different angle. We're seeing it from a now in hindsight, because we're different today than we were a week ago or a year ago. And it's just to reflect on that, say, well, that was a great time, or that was, I zigged when I should have zagged, you know, and just to get the essence of it. Sometimes, especially with things like PTSD, it's playing an event over and over, because it's kind of locked in and not moving. And of course, there's lots of ways to help to better manage PTSD. But it takes time and that discipline, which is almost meditative, and that's why the partnership of meditation and reflection, to grasp bigger pictures of a reflection and have, again, that, you know, more of an analytical mind, not just emotional. So you're not reliving the emotions of it, you're just living it like a movie, if you will. It's better. It's certainly healthier. And just to learn and then collect where you are in the moment and then keep moving forward. So meditation is a grounding, collecting yourself. Reflection is all the stuff that we kind of missed or left behind, or we're skipping over, or, you know, it wants to be heard because we didn't get it that time. Now we're getting it. And they'll just pop in your head randomly sometimes. I think everybody's had that. Say, wow, what did I think about that? Well, it needs to be heard. And then you meditate on that again and you move forward. You know, it's being able to go forward. But if we don't find some way to center ourselves and we don't find a way to be reflective, we're not growing. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not centered. We start detaching.
We're not growing in a healthy way. Not growing in the most constructive way or the best way. Because, you know, each and every day we're changing. We're changing into something that was different than the day prior. And with mindfulness, with reflection on the self, being objectively, as best as we can. We all have biases that we sometimes simply won't be able to account for, especially when it comes to ourselves. But we have to try to overcome this. We're self-aware beings. Even though we have instinct, we're aware enough to challenge that instinct. Meditation being one of the key ways you can do this. And it is a state of mind. It is focused thought in some ways. There are many kinds of meditation, and a lot of times it's just finding out what is the best kind for you. Yeah. What's the best kind that you're going to work into your life? We've talked about mindfulness often on this program. Spiritual meditation is employed by many, and it can be in a form of, you know, certain prayers in the Eastern faith, even Abrahamic religions, when people pray, it can at times be a form of meditation for them. And, you know, philosophical disagreements aside, I do hope that it brings some comfort in that, and I think it might be necessary. There's, of course, focused meditations. We talked about movement meditations already, and everybody, of course, knows the classic mantra meditations, where you have the om, and you repeat this mantra and focus on that. But again, these are all different kind of ways of focusing on something, in a way, in even mindfulness, focusing on the moment and the here and now. And I think one thing that a lot of people think of when they think of meditation is transcendental meditation. It's kind of the you know, oh, more razzle-dazzle meditation, would you say?
The trick words of the New Age movement. No, transcendental just means altered consciousness.
Right.
Really, it's to rise above, and it's what I explain in with using chakras. If you meditate from the root chakra up, you've got a better risk of beaming off the planet, altering your consciousness, astral traveling, and so on. My favorite way is to start at the top and work down.
Mm-hmm.
So that you're getting into the body. So transcendental would be going upward, if you would need a visual for that, where it's tapping into the universe, tapping into other states of consciousness, if you want to explore that. And not a lot of people want that necessarily, Michael. They just want to know how to be quiet in themselves.
Yeah, I mean, it depends
turn off
on
the voices.
Right, and instead of inviting new voices. But, you know, that kind of leads into also, you know, progressive relaxation, talking about that kind of going through the body. And this is something I read on briefly where they talk about it as a practice to aimed at reducing tension in the body and promoting relaxation, where you, you know, focus on one part of your body at a time, one muscle group or one section, and then you go in a wave progressively through your entire body, relaxing yourself as you go. Hypnotists do this a lot, and what is hypnotism other than, you know, focused guided meditation?
You know, that was actually my first discipline into meditation. I studied under Frank Appleyard using the Harry Arons method, and I'd attend these weekend retreats on hypnosis and got my certification back then in the 70s. But that was the best way because it has a little bit more of a mental edge to it and guiding through with visualizations and, you know, more of a physicality that could discipline and train my mind to get into my body more. So that was really helpful for me. Hypnosis was my guide into meditation. It helped me get rid of migraines when I was young. And it helped physically, you know, to get more in touch with my body that way. So I'm a firm believer in hypnosis being that ally and partner to meditation. You know,
absolutely.
It absolutely has that partnership, Michael.
And I think hypnosis, in many ways, like meditation, is classically misunderstood. You think of it only in the showy terms, or, you know, you think of meditation only in the sense of a Buddhist monk on the top of a frozen mountain, you know, able to withstand the freezing cold because of the intense power of his focused will.
Wim Hof.
But you know, it is not as, you know, Hollywood or stage hypnotists would want you to think it is.
No.
Not at all. And, you know, one of my favorite types of meditation is visualization meditation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Focusing on a scene or, you know, an image or even just maybe like a different setting.
Mm-hmm.
Often, you know, it might even be called going to your happy place, right?
Yep.
And I've always fondly remembered summertime meadows in the Black Hills in South Dakota, where I'm originally from, just beautiful in the summer. Everything's blooming. You know, you have many different creeks and streams. It is a truly wonderful and spiritual place. And, you know, no wonder it is the center of the Lakota faith. It is a magical and wonderful place. And I was very lucky to be able to grow up there. And that's not lost on me. But, so that's, you know, some of the visual meditation that I do is kind of taking myself back to that and living in that moment. And I have some memories to draw on to help. But, so there are a variety of different kinds of meditation. And it's just going to take maybe a little bit of practice to see which one's the best for you. Which one do you fall into the most easily and has the best effect at clearing your mind, helping you reflect on yourself and kind of getting rid of some of the junk that clutters up our thoughts.
Well, I totally agree. And reflection is a partner to that, in that you want to think about things a little bit, and how do you want to do things differently, or how do you want to move forward. So it's still and quiet, but it's also active. Mm-hmm. And I know Dr. Stephen has just written in the chat. He said, in a way, meditation could be considered the absence of action and activities where manifestation of our thoughts are not present, as they've not yet been activated, which is a really good way to say it. But then I think reflection is more about active. So it's a partnering of those two things. Jeff is saying he likes to use his drum. Oh, I love that, Jeff.
Music, wonderful, different type of meditation.
But drum and the heartbeat, you know, feeling that heartbeat is, wow, that's really powerful and very powerful. The drum is like a significant part of indigenous cultures, and that's the heartbeat. And I know even taking African drumming classes with my kids many years ago when they were young, because we wanted to experience all different kinds of cultures, which is not unlike North American indigenous cultures, but the storytelling through the drums and the, you know, it's, you're going to talk to me, that's transcendental, but mm-hmm. it's also simultaneous to being in the body and feeling the heartbeat, you know, and that's what's so extraordinary about it. So if maybe it's a drum that you need, of course, if it's going to bother your neighbors, it's a quiet drum.
Well, it depends on the neighbor. And sometimes that neighbor's irritation just adds to the, you know, beauty and bliss of the meditation.
True.
That's true. I kid.
But that's funny. Irritate people, you'll feel better. No. We shouldn't talk.
That's not a good message. It's just a true one. No. But
so I think really about COVID, it's COVID time that doesn't seem to be going away very quickly or as quickly as we'd like. We are challenged to find these new ways. And if they're new to you, or then, you know, kind of explore it. But if it's not new to you, meditation, introspection, reflection, if that's like, hey, you've done that your whole life, mm-hmm. this is challenging you to do it a new way, in the discipline of not getting sucked into the vacuum, you know, of, whew, it's so negative out there, and the anger and the frustration. And I get it, people. I really do. I can appreciate that everybody's got their breaking points. There's so many people suffering, whether that's I don't have money to pay my rent, I can't get a job, you know, and the world doesn't seem to make sense because there's a million jobs out there, but nobody can get them. How do you get them? Artificial intelligence now is screening people, not people. Mm-hmm. You know? So we're in this huge transition that is mind-boggling. And really quite exasperating until things kind of calm down. They settle a little bit. So we have to find ways to weather this through. And again, whether that's environmental stuff that's going on, economic stuff, your home, your family, find those moments in a day. And more than one, I might add.
Yeah.
One a day is maybe not going to cut it. But you know, first thing in the morning, convincing yourself, you know, I got this. Take just that moment to, you know, 3, 2, 1, whew, go. And maybe in the middle of the day, take a moment to breathe and center yourself and say, I got this. You know, and then even later in the day, say, whew, I'm glad that day is over.
Yeah.
And breathe it out, you know, and let it wash over you. Don't, when you're holding stuff in, you can reflect gently, but don't hold it in where it's going to fester and make you sick. That's a really important point.
Yeah, absolutely. And taking time throughout a stressful day to go through mindfulness meditation, or one of my favorites, visualization meditation. One of my favorite visualizations is, if everything is very chaotic, if I'm very anxious, you know, if a lot of things are going on at the office and It's just very stressful. Sometimes I take a moment, I do some regulated deep breathing, and I visualize myself almost made of stone in the center of a giant maelstrom around me. It's storming, it's raging around me, but I am still. I am calm, I am centered, and the immediate vicinity around me is peaceful and centered and calm. I can't control what happens around that, but I can control what is this. And it doesn't have to be that, it can be anything, but taking even just 5 minutes for a type of meditation is both good for your personal wellness, it's also good for your job. It increases your productivity, clarity of thought, and the ability to use good judgment. So if you, just like Dr. Hunter said, let it build up and build up and build up, and you don't have an outlet, where, well, ultimately it is going to find an outlet. It can either be a healthy one, and you can work through it and calm it, or it can be something unhealthy, like an outburst. But, so, I think a lot of different ways to look at it.
Yeah.
A lot of different facets to go down.
I'm also an advocate, Michael, of call a friend.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes when you're having those moments, you need to verbalize and release that through that energy.
Absolutely.
I put a time limit on it. And in any part of where I need to vent with a friend, and I go, blah, you know, I allow that conversation to only take up 10 minutes of space. Because there's more to life than that moment. So, and I don't want to abuse my friendships with people and such. And I figure after 10, 15 minutes of, that's enough now. It's like, oh, thanks for letting me, you know, Ralph that up, people. And we're good and we move on. But usually by then, you know, we got some interactive stuff going on too.
Right.
But phone a friend when you need that. And it's
Absolutely.
Not about phoning the friend to fix it. It's, I just need to release that. Hey, can I vent for a minute? And I'm so fortunate to have cultivated some friendships with, you know, a few women friends over the last number of years. And, of course, being older as well, we all kind of relate to one another. But we're doing that. Hey, I need to vent. Have at her. I love to listen to a good, you know, vent session.
Yeah.
And you allow that. You're not trying to fix it. You're not trying to do anything. Whew. And they say, thanks for letting me vent anytime. It'll be my turn next time.
Exactly. You know, and nobody is an island. We all have to get things off our chest, and verbalizing it, throwing it out there to the universe, it helps so much. And knowing that you're not alone. And often that other people have gone through similar problems. There's incredible strength in that. So, yeah.
And then sometimes you can make it funny when you work through it. And I think there's something to be said for not taking life so personally anymore. It's like using humor. I have a friend of mine. She said she'll pick up the phone and say, I guess it's not good to shoot anybody in the head, hey? You know, probably not. Because we all know we're joking, but it's
well, it's all fun and all fun and games until the Mounties show up at your door asking about this individual.
Oh, this is true. I guess they are listening on the phones these days. But you know, it's that, you know, kind of making light of things and finding ways to say, you know, there's a part of me that has a dark thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's not a good idea, hey? And that dark thought releases right away. So you're not harboring dark thoughts, because we're all human. It's like there's times when I say, I would just like to smack that guy. <You know? laughs> And it's not that I envision myself doing it. It's just that, you know, it's my way of saying, somebody needs to spank him. You know, when you yell at a guy in a store because he's, dog is too close to you. I mean, it's all quite, you know, ridiculous. And again, people have begun to get anxious about really small things, and that's all about control, right? So, you know, you can't control the world, so you've got to control really, really small stuff. So again, check in with yourself so that you don't become one of those crazy people out there, and find ways to release that in a hopefully a more positive way. Have a couple of good friends, and that's, man, if you have two or three good friends around you, whew, in this, it's very hard to get close to people these days. And I'm sure we could do a whole show on that, Michael.
Oh, yeah.
But how to cultivate those friendships. And if you have two or three people you feel really good with, you know, comfortable with, you're rocking. It's not about having 20 friends and you go on a big camping trip and have a party, because those aren't real friendships. Those are that, you know, and I'm not devaluing anything. I'm just saying those are not the friendships I'm talking about.
There are levels of friendship. You know, we all have friends that are, you know, more than acquaintances, but they're not up at the same level as your inner circle or your closest friends. And then you have those acquaintances and different things and different, there are layers in different circles of our communities, of course. But you do need those close, you know, you know, and usually, I think, especially when we reach adulthood and getting beyond, we usually have, you know, a small handful, maybe three, four close friends that we can rely on, and, you know, if we're lucky. And it's important. I think maybe that would be a great overall topic for next week in, you know, broadly the importance of human connections and, you know, community, things like that.
And making, you know, cultivating friendships.
Cultivating friendships, absolutely.
It's so, so important, and to have that honesty with still kindness and respect. Like, don't, it's so easy to ruin a friendship. Oh my, you know, the dumb things. You got to be really careful with friendships. Cultivate them.
Mm-hmm.
Being respectful and
don't take
acting
it for granted.
In a loving, in a loving way. And, but allowing people to be who they are. Say, well, you know, that's just her thing. I have a woman I'm friends with, and she is really hooked on all these terms of endearment. Drives me nuts. I don't like terms of endearment. Don't call me honey. Don't call me dear. Don't call me lovey. Don't call me that because I have a name. But, you know, I can't tell her not to because she can't help herself. So, you know, I just let it go. That's who she is. She kind of knows, but she's not stopping how she's behaving. So you either accept that or you don't. So those are all little quirky things that each of us has. So, you know, it's just how to cultivate. I think that's a good show for next week. And how to continue to bridge, you know, bridge relationships while we're in this wonky place.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, the wonky place called existence and life. It's been wonky for, you know, it's only really been weird for the last, I don't know, 100,000 years. But it'll pass.
So everybody, maybe tonight is a good time to take 5 or 10 minutes and reflect on maybe all of the past year and a half of COVID. And what are two or three things that you've learned through COVID about yourself? Never mind the world for a moment, just about yourself. And what do you feel that you could have improved on? What have you improved on? You know, just kind of reflecting. It doesn't have to be any absolute answers, just observations. And say, okay, you know what? It's okay. I'm in this here and now. I think there's things that I can improve on. And I'm going to take some actions here to move forward. So even while you're doing that, it is kind of meditative. So you're getting into the moment and collecting yourself. So be reflective for a minute, move forward, and power up. Because there's a lot of good things coming. There are some really good people in the world, despite all the crap, you know.
Yeah, despite what you hear from me, there are good people in the world. There are. It's true.
Well. But. I think we're going to start drawing some cards right about now. I hope everybody's enjoyed the conversation and, you know, kind of check in with yourselves listening to Michael and I, you know, philosophize here.
I mean, that listening to us can be a form of meditation, too. So, hey,
there you go.
There you go. But no, we're glad to have you. I'm glad for some of the great points made in chat. And, you know, just excellent discussion. Always a pleasure with you, Dr. Hunter. Looking forward to next week's, but Yeah, it is that time of the evening. We're, you know, getting into that point where we're going to be drawing two cards. I'll be drawing one from the Inner Oracle deck here from the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. And Dr. Hunter will be pulling a tarot card to pair with that. It usually tells an interesting story. So, all right.
I think we have Omis up first.
All right, Omis.
Welcome. Welcome to our program.
Definitely happy to have you. And hope we're saying that right. I have number 30, Greatness to Deliver. Let's see. Every human being is born with greatness to deliver. Greatness embodies unique self-actualization and self-completeness, and does not settle for mediocrity. Greatness goes above and beyond what is common and aspires to nobility of character. Greatness is being part of the solution, not part of the problem. Remind yourself with the question, what do I need to reawaken in me in order to deliver my greatness? Remember, you are valued. Delivering your greatness is making a difference in the world. I love that card, and I hope it connects.
Well, I got the Ace of Clubs. That's in regular card language. In tarot language, it's the Ace of Wands. Partner with greatness to deliver, almost that's... It means you're working on things in a really good way, and the things you've been working on are going to pay off in some way. So it's also about what's resonating best with you. So you're investing yourself in ways that resonate to your fundamental self, your individuality, as well as to your higher self. So I really like that. It's really about achievement, but it's achievement that is in balance. So you're connecting. It's like you're waking up inside. It's he just said thank you. It hit the spot. That's great. So keep going, because what you're working on is exactly what you should be doing. So good job.
Oh, love it. All right, we have Jamil up next. And Jamil, glad to hear that you're feeling better. I know that you're feeling real under the weather last week, but
it's not COVID.
Not COVID. Always a great sign. It's always a good news when you get to find out you don't have COVID.
It is.
All right, Jamil, I have number 20, Deliberate Intent.
Hey.
Let's see. The simple act of intention registers your wants and desires with the universal consciousness, which then sets an energy motion for their attainment. Deliberate intent is focusing your intent like a laser, causing you to become entangled with whatever it is you desire. It is not magic. It requires effort. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. Release with patience.
Deliberate intent is supported by the Seven of Hearts, or the Seven of Cups. What I like about this the most, Jamil, is about creating new dreams, like, and being able to visualize dreams. The flip side of that Seven of Hearts is, what's an illusion? What's not attainable? So it could be maybe a few realizations that, oh, you know, I wanted that, but that's not really feasible at the moment, so I don't really want to put my energy into things that I know I can manifest, and being able to focus on what you can manifest. So I think that's great. Dream big, but know what's also reasonable at this time. So it's just what is at this time. The things that you may not want to do right now could be doable later, but just kind of do that reflection. I'm going to add that word of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, he wrote in the chat, he's been studying the law of attraction more recently. So that's awesome. So again, what's feasible and realistic, dream and project. Awesome.
All right. Great message.
That's the affirmation for Jamil.
All right. We have Monica up next. All right, Monica, I have a wild card. Wild card number 4, Unknowable.
Ooh, I love that card.
Gotta love a good mystery. There are mysteries in the universe. Not all can be known or predicted. A focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember, we only see what we know and believe. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to you or to your existing ways of thinking. Change your mind and you change your world. Change your mind and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leadings and incitations of your higher self. What was once unknowable is now knowable. Remain flexible and open to change. I love that card, but I don't know, we pulled it in a while.
Well, and that's partnered with judgment. Monica, I just got this instinctive feeling, maybe it's intuitive, but this feeling that you're going through a shift, a big mind shift, and how you declare yourself to the world is going to be very different. So it's, some people might think, oh, you've changed, or you got a bit of a personality shift or something. But it's because you've changed your mind. And opening up, and she just wrote yes in the chat. Thanks for that, Monica. Unknowable in judgment means to say anything is possible for you now that your mind has changed and how you declare yourself to the world. You know, it's kind of you get little goosebumps, you know, saying that because it's that powerful. It's a fundamental shift that you're going through, Monica. And I can be an observer of that and say, whew, that's awesome. Inside, you're going to have moments of saying, OMG, I don't know about this. But hang in there. Go through that little bumps and trust. Absolutely trust yourself that you've got this. Yep.
Love it. Love it. And, you know, that's one of the things that we need the most when we're going through those fundamental shifts in our life is trust in ourselves and in the path. But all right, we have Ronnie up next.
Hey, Ronnie.
Ronnie, I have the perfect card for you. I have card number one, perfection. Let's see. Always remember that you are perfect just as you are, a perfect work in progress, always changing and growing. Today is a reflection of past choices, and tomorrow is changeable by choices made today. This card may indicate that a situation is either perfect or not perfect for you. Embrace all mistakes, as they are vital to your growth, while striving for a better future. Reflect to see what contributes to your perfect journey, and move forward gracefully.
Ronnie, I got the Jack of Swords, Jack of Spades here, and you know, perhaps it could be that what I'm getting here is you could be wrestling with something. And you know when sometimes, Michael, if something's come to you that you really don't like, but it was perfect because you needed to know that? You know, that kind of feeling?
Oh, absolutely.
That's kind of what I'm getting for Ronnie here, is that sometimes we don't want to know things or we don't like to know things. And it can make us a little bit edgy, and yet, whew, it's a good thing you know those things, because that was perfectly aligned in the cosmos, that information came to you, and now you can manage your life with more information and better. So that's my feeling here, Ronnie, on this one, of it's things that are going on now that you're even wondering, what is that about? It's really a good thing, because once those bumps are out of the way, you got charge of this. You're in charge. You've got this. It's always better to have the information than not have the information, even though we don't like it. So I have no idea what kind of sense that makes for you, Ronnie, except that was my inclination to say. So I really hope that it makes sense somehow.
Well said. All right, okay. Dr. Jeff, up next. And let's see. Wow, we have another wild card. It's wild card number three, blocks. All right, let's see. Blocks. There is a time for movement and a time to sit still. What may seem like blocks could be an opportunity to reevaluate while allowing the universe to open new doorways. At times, we simply need to get out of our own way in order for events to unfold as they should, That's very true. It can feel like free-falling when a leap of faith is required. If blocks continue, it may be a time for a new direction. Do not dismay. Blockages serve purposes. Diligence and insight is required, and remain open. Dr. Jeff, I hope that connects.
Well, I got six of spades in support of that, Jeff. And, you know, in the Rider-Waite deck, it's pictured as a guy rowing a boat, you know, like a woman and child in the boat. You can see the shoreline. It's just, oh, it's tough to get there. It has those moments of, oh, this is a hard paddle boat, kind of. So that's the visual on it. But the six of spades, six is about service, community, relationships. It's a wonderful number, but it does have its moments of feeling challenged. So when you have blocks partnered with that six of spades, there might be points in a day where you feel like, ooh, I'm exhausted, or, oh, this is hard, or now I'm confused, but you keep going. And this is encouraging you to keep going. There may be blocks, know which then, which is, I have this thing about three times you're out. So if I've banged my head against a wall three times, I gotta change direction here. Yeah. Focus on something else. So it's like, know what is doable at the moment and keep making progress a little at a time, and you're getting there. It'll reveal itself. What you can trust, Jeff, is that you are getting to that new destination. And I think it's within sight now. Like it's not far away. So time-wise, I don't know why it jumps in my head, but over this next month, huge improvement. You're going to feel like, whew, I made it. We're good. So I hope that makes sense to you. Encouragement.
We all need it, and that's a good message. All right. Our last card of the evening is, are going to be for Dr. Kevin. And I have number 45, inspiration and motivation.
All right.
Inspiration and motivation come from hope. Motivation means finding a meaningful reason to do something. Look within for inspiration leading to motivation by reflecting on what your goals and the life you want to live. Drive and accomplishment may be missing from your life, or your life may revolve too heavily around it. Remain balanced, inspired, and motivated with the vigor of positive energy.
Eight of Hearts is in support of inspiration, motivation. Kevin, I call the Eight of Hearts one of the back cards. And the reason I do that is because you're largely trusting on radar. Like walking at night, you got the moonlight to guide you, but you're not really sure. So you don't have that same like big sunshine daylight thing guiding your way, and you, oh, this is easy to take this hike down this road. So it means that navigating is maybe a little more unsure, a little more uncertain. But what you are doing is trusting your intuition and your instincts. So the inspiration, the motivation, and the movement of everything that you're doing right now, maybe you don't know what you're going to be when you grow up. You just know that everything you're doing now, where you're going, is exactly where you're supposed to be. So, and it'll make sense as you go along. Mm. So you don't know the outcome, but you don't need to today. So I think that's what the assurance is here.
And, you know, oftentimes that's one of the things to be embraced about life. Not always knowing the outcome. It's what adds, it's what makes life interesting. And sometimes in some wonderful ways. But good message. I love it.
And thanks again for the feedback, everybody. And I'd, you know, like to thank Omis for making mention of the North American Native Spirituality course that he took, and he enjoyed that, so thanks for that comment. Dr. Jeff just said he's just made a few changes, should be complete by the first week of October, so another month or so, 2 months, that's pretty close. So that's all right, that's yeah, good.
Right around the corner, and as fast as this year's going.
Yeah, no kidding. So again, thanks for that feedback, appreciate it. You know, I'm over on the other side here, really working on total intuition and those impressions. And, you know, between Michael and I, kind of our energy feeding off of each other, kind of triangulating with you, and that's kind of how this works for me. And so that feedback says, hey, we got this. We're on it.
Yep.
I like
love
that.
Love the feedback, and that's why we love it when you have the time and you can join us live. We appreciate the interaction. We appreciate the dynamic it adds to the program, and we all benefit for it. And just a shout-out to our card keeper, Wendy. She's not with us tonight in the chat. Hope she's doing okay. Hope she's well. And our friend Dr. Edward, we're always wishing you the best. So yeah, I think that's it for our cards tonight. Some great messages. I hope that it resonated. We loved hearing the feedback that it definitely did for most of you. And even when we pull these cards, a lot of times the messages, you know, click with me listening. And it says, all right. It really makes a lot of sense in respect to something I'm thinking about, too. So just love how it can provoke you to thought. But so, great.
I just really want to say to everyone tonight, you know, we are 8 months, just about 8 months in now to 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the world and life is changing. And maybe it needs to. You know, maybe I see it from a different place of, maybe this all needs to happen. I wish it didn't have to happen with suffering. We're living the results of what we've put into life and the planet. And now it gives us opportunity to see clearer in that reflective moment where we're at and where the world is at. And check in with ourselves individually. So I want to impart some hopefulness here to everybody. We have the power. And if not individually, then certainly collectively. So we're going to talk more about cultivating friendships and relationships next week to make sure you don't feel so alone in the world. But spirits are with you all the time. I totally believe that. And we are here for you all the time, anytime. So hang in there, everybody.
Absolutely. We're all in this together. No one's an island, and we all have this community together to lean on when it really matters.
Yeah.
So, looking forward to really kind of delving into these topics of social connections and friendships and cultivating them next week. And we look forward to you joining us then. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.